You're listening to Radio Diaries. This is Joe, and I have some exciting news from the Radiotopia family. Ear Hustle is back with a new season. Hosts Nigel Poor and Earlonne Woods are bringing you unique, surprising stories from four California prisons. This season, they have some truly interesting perspectives. You'll hear from people who are so comfortable in prison that they no longer want to be free. And you'll hear from mothers of inmates about the complicated reality of having adult children in prison. The show is full of candid interviews and thought-provoking conversations, and it just keeps getting better. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts and at earhustlesq.com. This episode of Radio Diaries has support from Indeed. Finding new hires shouldn't feel like a second job, and that's why Indeed only matches you with quality candidates that fit your job description. Indeed makes hiring more organized. You can screen, message, and schedule interviews with candidates all in one place. So try it out. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/diaries. Just go to Indeed.com/diaries right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. This episode of Radio Diaries is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Radiotopia.
From PRX.
From PRX's Radiotopia, this is Radio Diaries. I'm Joe Richman. Radio Diaries was born 20 years ago this month. To celebrate, we've been catching up with some of the original teenage diarists that we worked with back in 1996 when we started the series Teenage Diaries.
Hello? Nope, wrong button. There. Hello?
Oh, let me do the introduction now. Hi, my name is Josh. If you saw me on the street, you wouldn't notice anything different about me.
My name is Amanda, and I guess in a way I always known that I was bisexual.
People always used to pick on me all the time, you know. And then one day, I decided to play football.
I'm Mexican, and I'm here in the U.S. It's like kind of amazing.
I didn't think I was going to get pregnant. It just happened.
My radio show, thank you.
One of the voices you just heard was Melissa Rodriguez. She was a teenager when she recorded her diary about having a baby. Today, that baby is a teenager. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, Joe.
Melissa, I don't know if you know this, but you are the reason that the entire Teenage Diaries Revisited series came about. After the original Teenage Diaries series aired in the 90s, I kept in touch with some of those diarists and lost touch with others. And as you know, you were one of the people that I totally lost touch with for about a decade. And then out of the blue, I got this email from you. Will you read this right here?
I remember.
Okay, read that.
Okay. It says, "Hi, Joe. Hope you remember me. I recorded my pregnancy with my son Isaiah in 1996. I ran into your email, and if you ever wonder about us, we turned out okay."
You remember sending that email?
I remember. I do. Yeah. I was on the computer and I Googled my name and I came across to my diary and I was like, wow, it's on the internet. And your email address popped up, Joe Richman.
And what happened? Why did you actually decide to send an email?
Well, I know we lost touch and the diary was so important to me when I was younger. And I just wanted to let you know that I was okay. I thought, you know, I knew that you probably wonder what happened to us.
I had wondered about you.
I figured that.
Getting that email kind of blew my mind in a few ways. One, because I think I still thought of you as a teenager. And also because I realized that that Isaiah, your son, was now 16 years old. He could be doing his own teenage diary. So after we reconnected, I was inspired to get in touch with other diarists. And I asked you to carry around a tape recorder once again.
That's correct.
and tell your story again. And we're going to hear that new adult diary later on in the podcast. But first, talk about what you remember back when you were 18 years old. And I first asked you to carry around a tape recorder and keep a record of basically the birth of Isaiah. Do you remember what was going through your mind when you first started documenting everything?
I guess at the time I wanted my child to know, you know, how life was right before he was born and when he was a child, and I wanted him to hear it for himself. That was very important for me.
I must say, Melissa, that I think I asked you to do more than any other teenage diarist back then, because I actually asked you to bring the tape recorder into the delivery room. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. Yes.
You know, how pushy was I to get you to actually record in the delivery room? I can't even remember.
You was a little pushy. So I did put it in the room with me, and I completely forgot it was even there for a while. And then I said, oh, I need the tape recorder. I need the tape recorder. I'm going to have the baby. So right after he came out, we turned it on. The first cry we heard.
Well, we're going to listen to that original diary right now. And later on in the show, we'll talk a little bit about why you disappeared. What happened to make you kind of, in a sense, vanish from my life and from a lot of others in between your stories. And as a side note, Melissa recorded 2 teenage diaries back then. And you can listen to her second one on our website, radiodiaries.org. So can you introduce your original teenage diary for us? What should people know before they listen to this?
You know, I was a teenager. I was young, and I will tell them, keep an open mind.
Okay, let's see what old songs I have here. Oh, yeah, this is a classic. Well, to my generation. Here it is, Independent by Salt and Pepper.
Hi, I'm going to introduce myself. My name is Melissa Rodriguez. My friends call me Missy.
I'm Puerto Rican, if no one noticed that yet.
I'm 18 years old. I live in New Haven, Connecticut.
In a little tight one-bedroom apartment. Right now, I'm in my bedroom. I love being in my bedroom. There's everything here. All my books, my TV, VCR, my baby's crib. I'm 8 months pregnant, 8 and a half. It's a boy. Everybody asks me, what are you gonna name him? What are you gonna name him? I don't even know what I'm gonna name him. I mean, I tried everything. I even called the psychic line. Talk about crazy. I called the psychic line. I was like, can you see who it is? They didn't even know. And they psychic. This is my plan, to have the baby. And I think when I look at the baby, I think I will know. My baby father's name is Wayne, and we're sort of together. We're not in a serious relationship. And I didn't think that I was going to get pregnant. It just happened. It was just like, I just started my life. I just started to go to school. I just started working. And I just didn't have anything settled yet.
Hello.
How are you?
Okay. Why don't you lay up on the table on your left side, okay?
Okay.
Every couple of weeks, I have to go get my checkup.
We're gonna listen to the heartbeat now.
That's it. I heard his heartbeat for the first time, and I kind of believed I was pregnant, and I was still in like this denial stage.
Doctors will ask me questions like, am I depressed or if I have any problems? And they want to know what I'm eating and how much of it am I eating. I lied a lot and told them that I was eating a lot of vegetables, but the only vegetable I was eating is lettuce and tomatoes on my double cheeseburger with extra cheese from McDonald's.
All right, I'll see you next week.
All right.
Well, I got to be honest with you. I was kind of thinking about abortion, but I see it as more like killing a human being. And adoption, I don't believe in adoption either, because I was in foster homes, and that's just as good as being adopted. I was in 8 foster homes, 5 residentials, and 7 group homes. And it's just, you feel so out of place. And you would just think, you know, this family is not even mine. Let me get my photo album.
While I'm going through my photo album to see who's in here. Most of my pictures are friends. Family members come up once in a blue moon. Oh, I have a picture right here. Perfect picture too. This was when I was 2 years old, 1 year old. That's my mother. And we was at my little cousin's birthday party. She looked a little fat because she just had me. Still got her roll in her stomach. But other than that, she's really pretty. She has short, curly hair, thick. She looks like she's trying to dress like a teenager, which I think she was at the time. But I look just like her. My friends are really my family.
Sometimes we would just go out driving around in New Haven. And we have like a little rating system. Like we'll take points away if he has an ugly car or if he looks raggedy. And if he doesn't score at least an 8, then no one will talk to him.
Patty! Patty! Come here, girl!
Hey, Patty, girl. You look cute. I like that.
All my friends have kids except for one. The good reasons why they have kids is because they think they're cute and they feel like something belongs to them. They know that person will love them always. As far as I'm concerned, I'm still going to be a party girl. I'm just have to cut that in half. I'll probably just go out once a week rather than 5 days a week.
Well, that is the bomb, baby. That outfit, oh, with the high waters in the shoes.
Yeah. Well, we did have an excitement event this week. Nurse called me, and she says to me, she says, Miss Rodriguez, we need you to come in as soon as possible to cure 2 infections that you have. And I'm thinking, infections? I got an ear infection? What kind of infection is this? She was like, no, you have, syphilis and whatever else comes with it. And I'm like, wait a minute, you get that from having sex? She was like, yes. I was like, you must have the wrong chart. We don't have that hair. We didn't have this hair, you know. And I'm just looking over to my left. And I look at my baby father. I'm like, I'm gonna kill him. I really am. So he gets up. I get off the phone. He gets up, walks to the bathroom. And I look over at him. He looks at me. He's like, what's wrong? I was like, come here. Take a seat. I want to speak to you about something. You know, all calm, not to scare him or nothing. Right then and there, I already knew. I said, that's it. I knew he was going to cheat. I had a feeling he cheated on me, but I never knew that. If he was going to cheat on me, I mean, he would at least been protected. So I'm going off at him. I'm like, listen. I can't even look at you right now. Just get out my face. Take a walk or something. Because I will kill you if you stay around here, okay? Yeah, it's probably him calling again. Should we answer it and talk to him? Nah. Yeah, he hung up. Today is October the 9th, and I have a brand new baby boy, 7 pounds.
His name is Isaiah Seto. And he was born at 1:30, right? 1:30, right?
1:17.
1:17, exactly.
He was born an hour ago.
I was watching. 1:17.
And we would have recorded the birth, but it happened so fast.
About half an hour.
You know, so I'm sorry you couldn't hear all the pain, but it was easy.
So adorable.
He's gonna be a good baby too. You see how he was crying? He just came out, was chilling. Give him a little cry, make sure his lungs was right. He just started chilling. Can't believe this whole thing was inside of me.
Congratulations, Missy.
Thank you.
When I came home, it was a funny feeling. Just myself was walking in the house, but he really didn't care. He got so used to the house so fast, you know.
Ooh, I smell something. What's that? Woo!
And how do I like my motherhood here?
The funny thing about having a baby, especially a boy, is that he always pisses on me. Always. Every time I change him, is just always peeing on me. I don't know why. He's marking his territory like he said, this is mine. So that's kind of cute. As far as my own mother, you know, I'm debating on if I should call to let her know that her grandson is here. I don't know. I don't think she really will care. She's just that kind of person. But I'm gonna try to call her. So let's see if I can find her number here. I haven't talked to her in a while, so let's see.
The number you have dialed has been changed to a not published number. Once again, the number you have dialed.
Well, I guess she won't find out that she has a grandson. I'm the same age as my mother was when she had me. I think it was a mistake that I had the baby so young. I should have waited. I mean, I feel like I'm more like the keeper, just the keeper. I take care of him and that's my job. That's just it. I'm not saying I'm sad that I had my son. I hate getting up in the middle of my sleep and walk into the kitchen with my eye closed to try to find a bottle and heat it up. And he's crying, and I feel like I'm doing something wrong. I hate it at that time. But when I'm up and he's up, he smiles at me. I like looking at him and say, that's me. Looks just like me. It's fun to see somebody who has your blood and looks just like you and is yours, actually yours. I don't know. It's just, when I hold them, I just feel, you know, important to them.
So, Melissa, I know you've heard that story a couple times in recent years again, and you know, it's like having a time capsule of this old life that you had. And I'm wondering, when you listen back to that teenage version of yourself, what would you say to that girl?
I would say, keep up the good work. You're gonna do good. Don't worry.
Why that?
I think when I was younger, I was worried, like, what was gonna happen in my life? You know, what was gonna change? I couldn't figured out what I wanted to do, where I was headed. I had no idea. Almost was scared of the future.
What do you think that 18-year-old you would say about you now?
She would say, wow, how much you have changed. Life is different. I used to be a party girl when I was younger. I was naive, you know, maybe a little on the teenage wild side. And now that I'm older, I'm more, you know, a homebody. You know, I'm more of a family woman. I like to go out with my kids now instead of my friends. Now I think of, you know, putting other people in front of me and just being a good person.
You know, a lot happened over the years that led you to cut ties with me and with a lot of people in your life. you know, we don't want to say too much because you're going to talk about that in your story in a moment, but what happened there?
Well, when I was 19, I basically found out after my son was born that he had a disability. I think I just detached myself from the world after that. And that's how come I just disappeared. I packed up what I needed to pack up. I took my child and just left everything behind.
I mean, I remember you told me you took a couple photos. You took your son. You left your apartment. You left the keys. You walked out the door and you never came back.
I left with one bag, one baby bag, actually. So whatever fit in that baby bag is what I took. When I'm overstressed or issues become bigger than myself, the only way to make myself feel better and get a clear mind is to basically start from scratch. Now, not only am I a teenage mother, I'm also dealing with a child with an issue that I'm going to have to deal with for the rest of my life. So it wasn't going to be a normal life for us. So I wanted to start from scratch, just all over again.
Well, in your story that we're about to hear, we'll hear more about your son and what you went through. But I do want to let you know that when I lost track of you, when a lot of people lost track of you, I have to be honest with you, I didn't think things were going to turn out okay. And they did.
Yes.
So I was happy to get that email and I was happy things turned out okay. And I was happy I got to give you a tape recorder again to start all over again and do another story.
It was my enjoyment as well.
So this is Melissa's grown-up diary from Teenage Diaries Revisited. It starts with you listening in on that delivery room scene from years ago.
Today is October the 9th, and I have a brand new baby boy, 7 pounds. His name is Isaiah Seto, and we would have recorded the birth, but it happened so fast.
About half an hour.
You know, so I'm sorry you couldn't hear all the pain, but it was easy.
He's so adorable.
Just listening to it again, it's like, wow, that's me.
You know, when I was 18, I just thought you gave birth to a cute little kid and he was just going to be healthy and smiling all the time and cheery-eyed and all that good stuff.
And that's how you think when you're young.
You never think about what could possibly happen.
Zaya!
Okay. Testing. Okay, we're good. Let's do this.
My name is Melissa Rodriguez. This is my apartment.
Good morning, Tai Tai.
Oh, toys everywhere.
I have two boys.
So this is Tyron. He's 6 years old. Say hi.
Hi. So, testing. Hey. Testing.
Don't do that.
Okay.
What's up with Zaya? What are you up to?
Zaya's my oldest. He's 16.
Zaya!
What?
Smells like boy in here.
My God. What's that?
Play video game.
Yeah, what kind of video game is that?
A shooting game.
That's crazy. Shooting game. Are you old enough to play this game?
Mom, you sound like a mother.
I guess I am, huh?
Yeah.
I've actually always been fine with being alone with my two boys. We kind of like lean on each other. What time is it now? 8? Okay. You ready for school? Let me know if you need help.
I had a pretty tough life growing up. My mom abandoned me when I was about 2. Me and my brother. We weren't even little kids. We were babies. And, well, let's see. I ended up in a foster home. Then when I was 8, I went to another foster home. Then when I was 9, I went to another foster home. Then a group home. So I was bounced from one place to another. So finally, at 15, I literally ran away. And when I had my child, I was determined to make it somehow. You know, to at least be a decent mother. I mean, my God, my mother gave me 2 years of herself. 2 years. I have sneakers older than that.
Oh,
Michelle.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, everyone.
You just enjoy your job.
So I work for Cablevision. What I do there is CSRs, customer service representative. It's a call center. We have 532 reps. It's a lot of people.
Okay, signing in, 3 o'clock, on the dot.
I work night shifts from 3 to 12. Those hours were the only hours available. So when I come in, you have 5 minutes to read your emails, you have 5 minutes to get water, whatever you have to do.
Signing on, reception 3298.
No talking.
305, you log in, and those calls, we basically say to each other, we see you in 8 hours because you're on the phone constantly. Constantly, constantly, constantly.
Thank you for calling. My name is Melissa. How may I assist you today? Oh, sure. I can definitely assist you with that. So let's see. Can you put your TV on channel 3 for me? Your TV, not the box.
I literally take about maybe 150 phone calls in an 8-hour shift.
Make sure your TV
and they want us to stay on the phone no longer than 4 minutes per person.
I understand. Okay, I understand, ma'am. Okay, what does your screen look like? Is it blue? Is it black? Purple? I'm sorry, I can't hear you, ma'am.
Most people call in upset, but sometimes you have to be understanding. How would you feel if your services sucked?
Is there anything else that I can assist you with today? I do thank you for calling Optimum. You have a great day. Please hold for a short survey. Love it.
I love it. I'm fixing problems. People are happy when they hang up with me. That's my calling, customer service. You deal with the complaints, you fix the problem. Hear complaints, you fix the problem. You know, all day long, all day long.
Hey, Zaya.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right.
My kids get out of school at 3:30. So I check up at like 6 o'clock, I call.
What's up? All right. Doesn't want it.
So he didn't want the food, so just give him some Chef ID. You know how to do that, right?
Yeah.
Anything else wrong? Because I just came outside to call you real quick. I gotta go back inside.
Yeah.
All right, text me if anything.
Okay.
All right. When Zaya was a baby, I worked at McDonald's. I worked at Friendly's, being an ice cream maker. And I've even stripped. I was an exotic dancer. And I was willing to get on stage and strip for my son's money. I had no shame in that. Exotic dancing was actually extremely fun for me. It was acting, being someone completely different. And no one cared, you know, where I came from. What's my real name? It was just a fantasy. I bought myself a car, kept an apartment. I went to college. And when I was done with exotic dancing, that's when I first really had a real 9-to-5 that I could keep. And it's been like that ever since. By the time I come home, it's midnight. And everybody's asleep.
It's tight, tight, room.
The TV is blast and the light is on. That's how this child sleeps. It's really scary.
Okay, looks like everybody's in bed. I can rest in peace now.
Let me put on some good music here. Let's see. So, there is a subject that I haven't really spoken about yet. After Isaiah was born, the first few months, everything seemed normal. And then I started noticing that everything that he would learn, he would backtrack. Like, he would learn how to walk, and then he would out of nowhere start crawling again. I think that was the first time I said, is this normal? Then finally, one day I came in and his doctor, she broke the news to me and said, he has what we call cerebellar ataxia. And that basically means the brain is unable to communicate with the body. I was told that he was going to live
maybe 3 to 4 years from the time he was diagnosed. That was it. So enjoy your life with him while he's here, you know. I think I just lost my cool when she told me that. I was upset. I was upset with myself. I was upset with the world. I was upset with God. You know, I just felt like, you know, I was born with so much bad luck. And I just thought that, you know, this was going to be different. You know, you're going to have a child and I may not have been loved the way that I was supposed to be loved, but at least I can love someone else. You know? I used to think if he was to pass away on me, what do I do? Who do I call? I guess 911? You know, I was not sure. As he started getting a little older, I was pushing for him to get better, you know? You know, you gotta try, you gotta walk, you gotta do this, you gotta do that, you have to do it. Because I wanted him to be like me, you know, strong. It's this funny thing, you know. Here he is at 16. I look at him and I say, this has to be my child. What other child would beat the odds? The doctors don't understand. But I don't have to understand. I think I'm done. I'm signing off. Definitely signing off.
So I'm here in Zaya's school, and today's my day off work. I wanted to talk to the teacher, see how he's doing. Just waiting at the guidance counselor's office.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello. All right. How's he doing?
He's doing
much better.
Much better.
Okay. Isaiah is in a special class for kids that need extra help.
I was just a little worried from last, you know, episode. Yeah.
His body is fine now. There's no problem with his body. He doesn't have a problem walking. He doesn't have a problem playing sports. You know, everything's normal. But his IQ is a 79. So it's like borderline. And his brain is unable to retain a lot of information. You know, he can remember that game. But when he goes to school, he can't remember that book that he read yesterday. So it's the learning part of it is the only thing that's left for him to conquer.
Hello.
Hey, Zay. How was your day?
Good. Ready to go home.
Did you learn anything?
Yeah, I learned a couple stuff.
You learned a couple stuff? So, Zaya, anything you need to tell me? No? Isaiah got into some trouble today. The teacher told me that he was teasing a kid who also has a disability. Isaiah, when you go back to school tomorrow, can you think you can say I'm sorry to the boy and don't do it again?
I won't do it again, but I'm not saying sorry.
Does he make fun of you? No.
Everybody makes fun of everybody.
But listen, we're not. You don't have to be like everybody else. You are Isaiah. You are not everybody else. We're not perfect. Okay, we both got issues, right? So can you promise me to stop making fun of kids? Can you?
Yes.
All right. No, I don't like to use his disability as an excuse. I feel like it's just something to overcome. I remember when Isaiah was little, you know, it was so hard to watch him not able to talk. Or not even able to walk without falling or tripping over his own feet. So I bought him a bike with training wheels on it. And I made him ride that bike every day. I remember he used to put his feet on the ground and push the bike because he couldn't pedal. And that's how he started. He would scrape up his legs right up. And I knew he wanted to ride so bad. I used that to help him get the motor skills right, train his brain. And listen, this is what you're supposed to be doing. I put straps on so he could put his foot in. That was make him go get that mail. Go get that mail, Zaya. It's your turn to go get that mail. And that mailbox was far. And he would push that bike. He would push that bike. And then one day, he put his foot on that second one, and he was pedaling it away. And I was like, wow. After that, it was no coming back.
Hey. I'm chilling. We're just talking. So, let's see.
When you were still in my belly, I recorded how my life was and how you were made. And, you know, I was very young, only 3 years older than you.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to actually play you the CD that I made. And it was all about you and me.
Yeah.
That's you. As a baby.
Today is October the 9th.
Your birthday.
And I have a brand new baby boy, 7 pounds. His name is Isaiah Seto. And he was born at 1:30, right? 1:30, right?
I can't believe this whole thing was inside of me.
It's funny to you?
Yes. It was hard.
It was hard. You were an extreme change in my life. A lot of people didn't want me to have you. People trying to talk me out of it. Said that I wasn't going to be a good mother. And I said I was going to love my baby no matter what. I love him more than anybody ever loved me. You understand that?
Yes.
Kind of mushy.
What else?
How your life be different if you didn't have me?
Well, if I didn't have you, I could say I was lonely before you was born. And you was born, it was almost like I wasn't lonely anymore. So no matter how bad things got, I knew I always had you. You know, I felt bad about your father. I felt like it was my fault that I chose the wrong person to be your father. You know, I tried to replace him with other men to be your father. But I knew at the end you were just mine, and I was fine with that. I was just hoping that you would be fine with that. Are you fine with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dun, 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 dun.
What's that noise from?
It's like when you play the game. They say, dun, 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 dun. Goodbye.
Dun, 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 dun.
Game over.
Love that grin. Let me stop it.
Yes.
So here I am, 34 years old. You know, I've been a mom half of my life. If I can do it over again, I would want to be a kid longer. Yeah, definitely. I remember when I was 10, one of the homes I was in, they used to send us to this summer camp, Camp Squanto. I just remember the orange Indian t-shirt I used to wear on the top of my bathing suit. And just wanted to make sure you were a good swimmer. And for the test, we had to tread water. You just treaded water until you just couldn't tread water no more. And I remember it was about 12 of us. You see one by one, you see one person tread for 5 minutes. Next person, 10 minutes, 20 minutes.
And I think at 35 minutes, the last three people were there. And they were struggling. And this boy was looking at me like, this girl's still treading. And he gave up. I treaded for almost an hour and a half that day. And I would have kept treading, but they told me to stop. That was probably one of the happiest days of my life. I never thought about it before, but my whole life is treading water. You know? You have no support under your feet. You have no support over your head. You can't hold on to nothing. You're just out there. Keep it moving.
The Teenage Diaries Revisited series is produced by me, Joe Richman, with Sarah K. Kramer. Our editors are Deborah George and Ben Shapiro. We also have help from Nellie Gillis. The Radio Diaries podcast is part of Radiotopia from PRX. Thanks to all our supporters, including MailChimp, the Knight Foundation, and listeners like you. I'm Joe Richman. Thanks for listening. Radiotopia.